A new documentary investigates a bizarre chapter in the horrifying events of 9/11 that involved the remote Yukon community of Whitehorse. That morning, a Korean passenger 747 sent out a text message that made it seem as if it was being hijacked. The plane was supposed to land in Anchorage, but air traffic control diverted it to Whitehorse, sending panic through the community as parents raced to the school to collect their children.
And I was personally quite distressed myself because I didn't know what was happening with my child. I had all these kind of catastrophic thoughts about my boy going through some sort of disaster by himself.
Whitehorse filmmaker Max Fraser spent 5 years working on the documentary. He says the incident left a very deep impression on him, and he wanted to figure out why it happened.
I mean, we all woke up that morning in the Pacific time zone. You know, we heard something on the radio. We went and turned on our televisions. We saw what was happening in New York, and we were horrified and saying, oh, my God. And, you know, almost in the next breath, we said, thank God I live in the Yukon. Things like that will never happen here. Well, 4 hours later, we were at work, the kids were at school, and the mounted police come on the radio, say there's a hijacked airliner coming to Whitehorse. Public buildings and schools are being evacuated, and parents should go get their children.
Certainly, it seems the most disturbing element is the information about the squawk of 7500. Explain a bit about what that is and how you found out about it.
In the film, you know, I wanted to kind of explain what exactly happened and why. And when I went looking for an answer to why they thought it was hijacked and all these different stories, there were stories that, well, the pilot made an error. He meant to hit a low fuel signal on his radar squawk to air traffic control. There was a communication problem, that kind of stuff. Nothing really added up, so I requested documents from the FAA under the U.S. Freedom of Information laws, and they sent me 90 minutes of audio tape between air traffic control and the Korean airliner, as well as the fighter jets, and that audio tape is just chilling in terms of portraying the drama of the day. And the airliner, like most airliners flying long-distance flights, they have a radar code called a squawk. So Korean Air Flight 085 was squawking 5255 when it entered Alaska airspace. At a certain point that day, an order came from Washington, D.C., Federal Aviation Headquarters, to Anchorage Air Traffic Control to tell Korean Air 085 to change its squawk from 5255 to 7500. And that is an extremely bizarre kind of instruction.
And the 7500 squawk means we've been hijacked, is that correct?
That's right. 7500 is reserved for hijack. It means only one thing, so there was no doubt. And why Washington ordered that plane to squawk 7500 is quite a mystery, because it's so unusual. That signaled to the military and others that a hijack condition was confirmed and real on that plane, and brought that plane that much closer to being shot out of the sky.
Does it seem odd that the pilot, the Korean pilot, didn't question this order? You do have the audio exchange between air traffic control and the pilot. It was well established that the pilot spoke and understood English well. There wasn't a language barrier here. And he just confirmed and didn't question it. Does that seem odd?
Well, it seems very odd. The pilot did ask the air traffic control to confirm that they wanted the plane to squawk 7500. And air traffic control confirmed that, but you can hear the disappointment in the flight crew's response where they say, Roger. The tone of voice goes down. It's like, man, what the heck is going on here? I think it was just a day of very extreme circumstances and decisions, but it's the 10th anniversary, and surely it's time to get a proper explanation.
And what about today? What do folks in Whitehorse say about that experience? Are they resentful of the United States feeling, and do they feel, well, we must have been considered more expendable than people in Anchorage because they sent this potentially what they thought was a dangerous aircraft to us? What's the sentiment there now?
Well, the biggest thing in making the film was everybody had a story to tell. So my challenge as a filmmaker was, here's 20,000 people, 20,000 stories. How could I possibly, tell them all? But the memory is vivid. It is deep in the experience of everybody who lived here that day. The people are baffled by why a hostile aircraft was sent to Canada. People are baffled about why a hostile aircraft sent to Canada was sent to Whitehorse. You know, there's no resentment, I don't think. There's just a kind of wondering about, why did our friends in Alaska send us this hostile aircraft? We just don't get it. I mean, nobody died. It all worked out. But for a time there, people here were profoundly terrified and terrified for their own lives and the lives of their children.
Max Fraser's documentary is called Never Happen Here, the Whitehorse 9/11 story. It doesn't yet have an air date in the United States.